2020 is a brand new year, and I don't know if you're like me, but I've been checking my pockets, looking for my receipt, wondering if I can return. Can I actually return this? I mean, 2020 has brought to us so much more than any of us had ever expected. I mean, we all know what's hitting the headlines, but do you know the things that are on page three that would be headlines any other year? We've experienced murder hornets. I haven't seen murder hornets, but I'm imagining like tiny puppies with wings. And what's up with the coin shortage? Do you know there's a coin shortage right now? Who's hoarding all the coins? But it's just not like hornets and coins. Like, the Pentagon recently released footage of UFOs. That's happening. Like, you can't make this stuff up. And even in India, have you heard about this? There was a group of monkeys that raided a science lab, and they stole vials of human blood containing coronavirus. Monkeys, just wild with vials of corona. And not just that. But have you heard the 1994 Mariah Carey hit, All I Want for Christmas Is You? It spent three consecutive weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. Yes, that happened in 2020. Many of us are hoping to go back to a sense of normal, but right now we're playing by a completely new set of rules. But living through tough times isn't anything new. Actually, living through tough times has been around for a while. They're just kind of new to us, at least on this level. As we continue in our series, Unexpected Summer, we run into a prophet from Judah, the southern kingdom, who is dealing with a when will all of this end moment, similar to what you and I are wondering right now. The prophet's name is Habakkuk, and the book of Habakkuk is part of what we would call the minor prophets. There are 12 books in our Old Testament known as the minor prophets, and they're not known as minor prophets because of the lessons, but because of their length. There are some major messages in the minor prophets. And in Habakkuk, we see something that is very practical for us. I mean, we see a guy who is struggling through what he sees happening all around him and what he believes about God. The prophet Habakkuk has struggles just like me. I mean, this guy is flawed. He has questions. I can feel his doubt as we read through this book. He's a real guy. And Habakkuk had no idea what you and I would be going through here right now in 2020 as he approached God with these words. He says this, "How long, Lord, must I call for your help and you do not listen? Or cry out to you about violence and you do not save? Why do you force me to look at this injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Strife is ongoing and conflict escalates." Habakkuk just continues to tell God everything God already knows. Like Habakkuk's saying, my people are a mess. There is tragedy everywhere. Talk about an unexpected summer. Like Habakkuk is in it. And he was writing during a time of Israel's rebellion. There was a lot of rebellion in Israel's history. And right here in Habakkuk chapter 1, we see God's people just falling apart. In fact, it's all over the local news. It's what Habakkuk is describing. But maybe in our times, it would sound like, God, look at all the homicide. Look at all the drug abuse, the drug deals, the carjacking, the drunk driving. Look at our society as it's imploding. What Habakkuk saw was evil prospering and bad things happening to good people. In Habakkuk's eyes, this was happening because God had failed to correct his people. And Habakkuk's basically saying, God, why do I have to see this? Why does our generation have to go through everything that we're going through? But not just why do I have to see this, what are you doing? God, what are you doing within all of the mess that you and I are seeing and experiencing? He's like, God, why aren't you putting a stop to all of this craziness? Bad decisions, selfish decisions, tragedy, tough times, and persecution, they're really hard to experience. They're difficult to explain. And what I know is they're extremely hard on our faith. And some people blame God and become bitter toward him. And maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there right now. You've asked God for an explanation, but but all you hear is silence. And instead of listening in the silence, you actually feel not listened to. God actually didn't design us to know everything, but everything that you and I need to know, we have access to. Yet we hunger for more. We hunger for more information. We hunger for explanation. Even if everything were explained to us, you and I, we wouldn't be satisfied. You know why? I love that Isaiah tells us why. He says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration." He goes on to say, "For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Like, what God is thinking is so beyond what you or I could ever think. Like, we want to understand, we want things to make sense, and so did Habakkuk. Habakkuk was only seeing things from his perspective. He was expecting things in his time and on his terms. Habakkuk, he had a great relationship with God, by the way. Like, as we're reading this, he's not shaking his fist in anger. He is passionately having a conversation with his heavenly Father. He's here expressing his frustration. He has hard questions and he's sharing honest doubt. He's not frustrated. He's just kind of wondering what's happening. Habakkuk, don't get me wrong, he is complaining here in the moment, but he's coming to God out of deep relationship. He's asking, he's wondering, God, where's the rescue in all of this? And in the midst of his complaining, God's voice appears and God says this, "Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded." He invites him to look. He invites him to participate and be part of it. He says, "I want you to observe everything that I'm about to do, and I want you to be amazed." And he goes on to say in verse 5, "For I am doing a work in your days that you wouldn't believe even if I told you." God's saying, "I want you to watch it. I want you to take it all in, because you're going to have the privilege of being amazed at what I'm going to do." God says, "You want to know what I'm doing?" He says, "I'm working." God doesn't owe Habakkuk an explanation. He doesn't owe any of us an explanation, but he graciously says, "I want you to know I'm here and I'm working. I am working in a way that you wouldn't understand even if I told you." Habakkuk has been wondering what God is doing, but God says, "I want you to stand in wonder of my work." I love that. The one who set creation in motion is doing a work in Habakkuk's time that will leave him astounded. God says, "Even if I told you what I'm going to do, you wouldn't understand it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you look, I'm going to let you observe, and I'm going to let you be amazed." Isn't that awesome? Like, God is saying, "I am here, I am in control. I am in control of time. I am in control of history. I am in control of the future." And Habakkuk, you can have every ounce of confidence to walk through these difficult times because I am with you. Look at Romans 8:28. I love this. "And we know that in all things," not in some things, we know that in all things, not specific things, but we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's amazing to know that whatever you are going through, God is at work in it. And he is working in it to bring glory to himself. He's working the good out in everything that's going on. God is hard at work. Here's what God was doing that Habakkuk did not yet know. I mean, Israel was living in a time of rebellion, and God's plan was to raise up a nation more evil than the nation of Judah. And he was going to raise up that nation and use that nation to judge Judah. That'd be the name of a great TV show, I think. God says, "Habakkuk, you get to watch me bring judgment on your nation. You get to sit back and observe all that I'm doing, and you will be amazed." Do you know why? God does this because he loves his children. God loves his people. God loves Habakkuk. He loves them enough to bring correction in their lives. God is often doing things that you and I would never expect. And what he does produces results that you and I could never produce alone on ourselves. God's plan is beyond my ability to fully understand what he is doing. And God is under no obligation to explain himself to me. He's often going to remain a mystery to me because he's God and I'm not. God told Habakkuk, observe, wonder, be amazed. God's ways are far above our ways, and his incomprehensible ways should actually cause us to be left in awe, to be amazed. And 2020, for many of us, it's just been a tough year, right? I mean, you and I, we should actually be really excited at what God is going to do with this year, because God is at work in everything that's happening. When things don't change quick enough, we get the opportunity to pause and wait on God. When you feel like God isn't hearing your prayers, we get to pause and remain faithful. We have obviously been invited into what's going on. We're not here by mistake. God is not making a mistake in these moments. He's working. God is present. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. He knows your circumstances. And he loves you. God's paying attention. We never have to doubt God's ability to work out all things for his good, but it's just in his time and in his way that's difficult for us. Immediately after God tells Habakkuk what he is going to do, that he's going to use these Chaldeans, he's going to use this Babylonian nation, a nation more evil than Judah, to come and judge them. And Judah was the people of God. And Habakkuk, he presents another complaint. And here's what he says. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? I love this. I don't know if you're picking this up, but Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk comes to God and says, what are you doing? And God responds by saying, you wouldn't believe it even if I told you. But God graciously tells him. And Habakkuk responds by saying, you're right, I don't believe it. I can't believe you would raise up a nation more evil than ours to judge us. Are you kidding? Now, Habakkuk doesn't say these exact words, but if we look back at verses 12 and 13, we can see it. It says, Lord, are you not from everlasting? He says, my God, he's buttering him up. He says, my Holy One, he's raising and elevating God. He said, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You're my rock. Like, basically, he's saying, why would you do this? You've ordained them to punish, to correct. And then he goes on to say, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. He's saying, God, you can't do that. I can't even imagine that you would use someone so evil to bring judgment on your people. He says, why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why do you tolerate these Babylonians? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? This was absurd to Habakkuk. He just couldn't understand. He says, you're my God. You have this divine power. You are holy. You can't even look at evil, and yet you're going to use this? In Habakkuk's confusion, he needs to come to grips with the fact that God's sovereign plan is beyond his comprehension. You know, that's a truth for us too. That God's sovereign plan is beyond human comprehension. Kind of like a doctor. You know, maybe your doctor comes up to you and says, you need to eat less bacon. And I would just look at my doctor and I would say, I do not understand. My doctor might respond, Brandon, your sodium content is way too high. You're at risk of heart disease and high blood pressure. Do you know one single slice of bacon has 190 milligrams of sodium? You know, in a typical day, you should only consume 2,300 milligrams of sodium. And so if you would eat 6 slices of bacon, you would have 50% of your daily sodium consumed. And at that point, I'd look at my doctor and I would just say, okay, I understand. So what you're saying is that if I would eat 12 slices of bacon and nothing else, I would be fine? I mean, isn't that kind of what we do? I mean, we like to take the news we get and bend it to our favor. We bend it to where we are comfortable. And listen, I don't understand what doctors understand. I never will. They have a wealth of knowledge that I will never gain. I just have to trust them. And the same is true with Habakkuk. He loves God. He believes in God, but does he fully trust God here in the moment? he definitely doesn't fully understand God's answer. Habakkuk would prefer God to swiftly bring judgment and correction to every wrongdoing, just so that we know where we stand with God, that every wrongdoing would have a consequence, every right would have a reward. He's just like, God, let me know what's going on. But the truth is, you and I would never survive in a world like that. I am so thankful that God leads with mercy and grace in our lives. God responds to Habakkuk's second complaint by saying that I'm going to give you a message that I want you to get out to everyone. He says this, "Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and it will not delay." God says, I know you don't believe it. I told you that you wouldn't believe it. But what I want you to do in all of this mess is I want you to wait for it. I want you to wait for it. He says, I'm working on what will happen, but it will happen in my time and it will not be late. It'll happen my way and it will happen perfectly. I don't know about you, but I don't wait well. Do you wait well? You know, I have an app on my phone that if I need to call a major company or corporation, this app has everybody's phone number in it, and I can hit a button and the app will call that company for me until somebody gets on the line, and then the app will call me back. So I don't have to wait on hold. I just don't like waiting. Or in a grocery store line, like I love self-checkout. Like we should get a discount for going through self-checkout. We're just doing it ourselves, but I can do it at my own pace. I don't have to wait in line. And it seems like the times that I do have to get in line, I get behind somebody with so many items, like dozens and dozens and hundreds of items. And as soon as the cashier tells them their total, it's at that point that they break out a checkbook. Are you kidding me? I just do not like waiting. I was at Starbucks and the line was incredibly long and I didn't want to wait. So what I did was I just took a seat and I opened up my app and I did a mobile order and my drink came so quick. I didn't have to wait in that line. We have three children. Do you know children take 9 months to hatch? Like that is so long. We just don't wait well. I love this quote from a pastor, Charles Stanley. He says this, "Our willingness to wait reveals the value we place on the object we are waiting for." You know, we have quite literally been waiting in and waiting on 2020. Waiting in isolation, waiting from a distance, but some of us have been waiting on other things for a much longer time. You know, some of you have been waiting on that special person and you have been waiting on a date and you've been waiting to get married and you have been waiting on a date so that you could get married. Like you have just been waiting. And some of us have been waiting maybe on a contract because our business is just, it needs this contract and we're relying on the income for our employees or for the success of our family. Some of us are waiting on a callback from a mechanic. Like we just don't understand cars. We want to know when it's going to get fixed. We want to know how much it's going to cost to get fixed. Some of us are waiting on our children. Maybe you have a prodigal son or prodigal daughter who's away from the Lord and you've been praying and waiting for them to come back. Or maybe you're a child waiting on a prodigal parent to come to the church or come back to church. Waiting is hard. Some of us have been waiting on a call from our doctor. We don't know what the answer is going to be. We're hope-filled, but we're waiting. You know, your circumstances are not necessarily a reflection of how God feels about you. But waiting on him shows how you feel about him. Maybe he's letting you go through what you're experiencing because you can handle this situation far better than anyone else. Or maybe he's using this situation to prepare you for something else. The Bible's full of stories of men and women who waited on God. I mean, think of Noah. He waited and people thought he was crazy. Abraham and Sarah, they waited for a son. God took over 80 years to prepare Moses. God gave Joseph a dream as a child, and decades later, that dream was fulfilled. You know, an angel came to this woman named Mary and told her that she was going to be pregnant soon as a virgin and give birth to the Messiah. And she waited 30 years to see that child enter into his first year of ministry. And Jesus patiently and prayerfully waited in a garden, asking his heavenly Father if there was a less pain-filled way to bring salvation to humanity. We all have to go through waiting periods sometime in our life. Some of you are waiting right now. But waiting is not wasting. Waiting teaches us to trust God. You know, we learn that his pace and his plan is perfect. And what tends to happen is that you and I, we want God to prove himself so that we trust him. And God actually wants us to trust him so that he can prove himself. Habakkuk goes on to say in chapter 2, verse 4, "See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." The phrase, "but the righteous shall live by his faithfulness," is quoted in the New Testament to emphasize that people are saved by grace through faith. I mean, that every Christian should be living by grace through faith. The kind of faith that Habakkuk describes is a faith that the Babylonians didn't have. And Habakkuk is told to continue to trust God and to cling to God's promises. God shares with Habakkuk that his justice is pure. Know this, Habakkuk, while you're waiting. And the Babylonians, they're going to be punished for their action. He's like, don't worry about the Babylonians. The passage that comes next is this five woes that come, and Habakkuk is kind of given this confidence that, you know what, there's going to be trouble coming to those who are distant from God, especially this nation who I'm going to raise up to bring correction to your nation. You think these people are going to get away with it, that they're going to win? God says, I'm going to use them to get your attention, and then they will be held accountable. God is working toward a better future, even in dark times. God is not disciplining his people with the Babylonians to pay them back. He's using the Babylonians to correct his people to bring them back. So what do we do? Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. We wait. It's like God just said, good talk, Habakkuk. Now I just want you to hit the pause button. I want you to be silent. I want you to listen. Habakkuk, be still and know that I am God. Wait for it. But wait with reverence. Wait with respect. Worship while you wait. And in that silence, wait patiently. Because our willingness to wait reveals the value that we place on the object that we're waiting for. And while we wait patiently, we wait faithfully. And that faith says, God, I trust that you are in control and I am not. And at this point, it's like a switch was flipped in Habakkuk's mind. I mean, Habakkuk moves from angst to adoration. He moves from worry to worship. And it's like he says, God, you're not as big as I thought you were. You're actually much, much bigger. In Habakkuk 3, 16 through 19, Habakkuk proclaims his trust in God's ability to handle his future. He says this, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. How would you feel if God said he was going to raise up a nation more evil than yours to judge you? I'd feel just like this. And he says this, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait, God, on you to do what you said you were gonna do. I am gonna wait patiently in your time and in your way. He goes on to say, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Like we all have our own even though moments, just like Habakkuk is declaring, even though. Like, even though I'm trying to sell my house and my house won't sell, even though money is tight, even though my spouse said, until death do we part, and things just aren't going well, even though my kids have been taught the word of God and yet they're far from God, even though we've prayed for healing and it's just not happening, even though I don't like it, even though I don't understand it, even though I know God could meet this need in this very moment, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, God my Savior. These even though moments are moments of waiting. And what we know about Habakkuk is he says, yet I will rejoice, knowing that his life is actually going to get much worse before it gets better. I kind of wonder, what's your even though moment? What's the even though that you've been wrestling with? The even though that you're going through right now? Do you have an even though moment? Because it's in these even though moments where we remember and where we learn how big God is. Habakkuk, he has no reason physically or visibly to rejoice in the Lord. But this is Habakkuk taking God's advice and living by faith. All he sees is tragedy, and all he has is hope. Habakkuk may have been more confused in this moment, but his response to God's timing and to God's sovereign plan reflects a person who has chosen to respond in faith and not in pride. Habakkuk, he's come a long way since chapter one, right? These three chapters show the journey of a man who starts off raw and ends worshiping his heavenly Father. This is Habakkuk taking God's advice. It says the enemy is puffed up, but the righteous person will live by faithfulness. He's trying to embrace what God is saying, and he's trying to live by faithfulness here in the moment. So I would say, what's your even though? Do you think that God can get you through that? Is God who you think he is? Or is God much, much bigger? Just like Habakkuk clings to hope despite the devastation surrounding him, you and I have a hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And whatever you and I are experiencing in the moment is not the end of the story. Our lives are a grand story with many chapters. And whatever you're going through right now, know that the message of Jesus is that this, whatever your this is not the end of the story. God always has the final word. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to teach your word, for those of us to gather around screens all over the world, all over our campus, to learn about you, to spend time growing as a follower. God, whatever it is that we're going through, that we're experiencing, the struggles that we're wading through, God, help us. Help us not just wonder, but help us wait, and while we wait, I pray that we are worshiping our great, big, awesome God. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful for today. Amen and amen.